everyone. Welcome to our episode of Virtual GM. My name is Spencer. This is Cody. I feel like you probably know us by now, and hopefully you're enjoying this content sent to your inbox. You can also just find it on our website, too. We have some really cool updates. One of them is like huge and big and amazing, and then one of them is like really small, so we'll just start with a small one first off. We got some new shirts. They're pretty sweet.
I'm very excited about it.
These were inspired by Sean Cannell, who were anxiously awaiting the Grow With Video 2023.
Well, we've been on so many of these wearing our Create shirts.
I feel like he owes us to wear a Vibrant shirt now.
Yeah, he should do one in a Vibrant shirt.
I completely agree. So that's our update. If you want one, you can email us and pay for one.
Or sign up as a client. We'll send it to you for free.
Also true. Yep. Sign up for a marketing package and we get you covered. The second update, and this one is really cool. Cody has taken time several years and written his own book called Winning the Moment. I don't want to introduce this because I feel like I'd be stealing the thunder from Cody, sure. Of course. But it's amazing. It's printed. We're just steps away from his office here at his house. And there's probably, 150?
Bunch of copies in there,
There's a ton of copies. You can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it on Barnes & Noble. But today we're going to be talking about this book. And a lot of it actually plays back to Vibrant Management and just hospitality in general. So without throwing like a wrench in what we'd normally talk about, this felt like something that was really appropriate for us to talk about this time because so much good hotel information is found in this book. So Cody, maybe you can tell us just a little bit about what Winning the Moment is about and how we got here.
So it's funny. Someone asked me the other day, or was it a Christmas party? It was Ryan. He goes, "So how long did it take you to write it?" I said, "Well, it took a lifetime for the content, but it took about 2 years to actually do it." Yeah. So Winning the Moment, I can't remember if we talked about this on this podcast or not, but back in 2019, I realized I always achieve all of my professional goals. And like anything that I want to do professionally, I always do it. No matter what it is, if I set out to do it, I accomplish it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, man, why am I falling short for myself? Like if I say I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, like I never do it. Breck said, be at the office at 6 a.m., I'm never going to just not be at the office at 6 a.m. But if I said I'm going to go to CrossFit with you at 6 a.m., more likely than not, I'm probably not going to go. And so why is that? Why do we not show up for ourselves the same way that we show up for other people, right? When we are the most important. And that can be maybe a little bit taboo and feel selfish. But at the end of the day, if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of other people, right? So it starts with you.
Totally.
And so I thought, now what can I do to allow myself to finally achieve these things I want to achieve? And so in Cody fashion, I made a spreadsheet. And super simple, but it had all the things that were important to me to be able to really live that life that I needed, right?
Yep.
Exercise, limiting my drinking, upping my reading intake, meditation, like all of those things outside of work for me personally as an individual that I needed to do to really be my best. And it totally worked because I had this new sense of accountability. It was easy. A Y was green, a no was red.
Right.
And I had all the parameters that I wanted. And it just took off for me instantly. I was able to get all my exercises in every day. I was reading my books. I was eating healthier. I was drinking less. It all worked. And so 2019 went on for the whole year. And I did it religiously the whole time. Weighed in every Tuesday and Friday. And at the time, I also did want to lose weight too. I wanted to lose, a bunch of weight. So I lost 40 pounds.
Wow.
And I felt great. And think of the impact of having 40 less pounds on your body, over the course of your life. That's significant.
Right. And that's a ton.
And so I felt super good about it. And so I did a post in January at the before and after from 1 year apart. From November, is that the one picture was from the Utah Tourism Conference in Salt Lake. And then a picture, we had done family pictures that year on the beach in Mexico and a picture of that.
Yeah, right. I've seen that picture.
Yeah, and the difference is it's just hard to believe the same person, right? And
it's true.
Yeah. So this post just went viral, went all over the world. People from London and from different parts of the United States. Just everywhere were commenting, all saying oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one. That also happens to me, because I did it on LinkedIn. So all these professionals are just able to relate to such a degree. And so I told everyone, I'll send you this document. If you want it, I'll make you one for free. I didn't have any intention of selling it or doing anything with it or even writing a book about it at the time. And so I sent it to like, you know, over 100 people and said like, will you please send it to me? And I did. And some people have all followed up with me since and been like, oh my gosh, look at my transformation. Look at my weight loss. It's been really cool.
That's cool.
And then I got to do an article with Tales to Inspire, which is based out of London, with a guy named Chris, which is awesome. And he's got a podcast now. So I'm going to do that on January 6th. I'm really excited about that, to talk about the book. And so it was just cool to see like, man, so many people have the same ailment, right?
Yep.
And so then at the beginning of 2020, I was still doing really good, super healthy, but then COVID hit and that gave me the excuse to be lazy again. And it was like really bad for us in hospitality.
Threw everyone off, right?
Right? And it is an excuse because I could have still done everything, but I just wanted to be, you know, pity me and oh, poor me.
Right.
And so I totally lost track of everything, put all that weight back on. And I realized like, man, the document just didn't work for anymore. Right.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't visual enough. And I think the problem for me is that when I think of things, because I'm like a logical thinker. Right. And so I think like, okay, well, if I have a glass of whiskey tonight, does that impact my life? And the answer is no.
Sure.
A glass of whiskey tonight impacts my life basically zero. If it was the only glass of whiskey I had for the rest of my life, on my deathbed, right, there'd be no residual effects whatsoever, sure, from said right glass of whiskey.
Right.
The problem is if you rationalize that every day forever, at some
then
point,
there's a large impact.
At some point, the balance shifts to it being a detriment, right?
Right.
And all things, right? All the things, sugars, all of the stuff.
Yep.
Not going to bed on a good time, not getting up at a good time, not exercising. If I don't exercise today, the impact on my life is zero.
Correct.
But if I make the same choice repeatedly forever in perpetuity,
yeah,
then at some point there's an impact there.
Yep.
And so much of life sneaks up on you in those slow, sneaky ways.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, like you think everything's fine and then one day you wake up and you're like, my pants don't fit. And yeah, so I was like, gosh, how can I switch that? You know, and I thought about like, what are the things that I do? And it's like, I'll have lunch at the office and then I'll go in the break room and I'll get like a granola bar. We have those chocolate bars now, yep, you know, like the chocolate bar is fine. And what I'm really trying to do is I'm trying to get a dopamine, right? That's why we do it. Like, sure, we want that sugar boost. We want to like get us through the rest of the day. And so we make these little concessions for ourselves. And I realized that, you know, like a cell phone, we only have so much battery life.
Right.
Right. So as the day goes on, our willpower dissipates. And that's why people like Mark Zuckerberg and Steve Jobs, that's why they wear the same thing every day, right? Because they know they can only make so many good decisions in a day. And I always like to joke, that's why happy hour is in the afternoon or in the evening and not in the afternoon.
Yeah, right.
Because by the end of the day, it's easier to say yes to that same glass of whiskey that I would easily say no to at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, right.
And so how can we counteract that loss of willpower throughout the day? And so that's what these bracelets are for. And so every time that you make a good decision, because it's so hard to make a good decision today for the rest of your life. I don't want to decide right now that I'm never going to have a drink again, because that's too definitive.
Right.
And it's kind of like 75 hard, where when you do 75 hard, if you miss a day, you fail, you start over.
Yeah, right.
That to me has some obstacles, because if you went 44 days and then you couldn't exercise that day,
yeah,
by no means is that a failure. You just kicked ass for 44 days.
Of course.
But you feel like a failure because now you have to start over again.
And there's a program that tells you that you're a failure too.
Right.
Yeah.
And not to say, I mean, that guy who created that is obviously great. I'm not saying that this is necessarily better. It's just different.
Sure.
Because it's not so definitive.
Right.
Right. Like I can win today, move all my bracelets, and I've won the day. And tomorrow I might not. But the difference is you get to wake up and all you have to do is make 10 good decisions again.
Well, one thing I've heard you say as we've just been talking about the book is that this book doesn't tell you what success is. It just helps you identify what success is to you. Right?
Absolutely.
So like, if success is completing 75 hard, like if you're David Goggins, right, his success
is different,
is
way
different than mine. Like, you know, my goal is to go to CrossFit 4 times a week,
yes,
right? And for him, you know, that is like the lowest level of success.
Absolutely.
For him,
absolutely. You
know? So it varies for everyone, which is one thing I've always appreciated.
I'm glad you say that, because it's so important, I think, because society has defined for us what success is. And so many people,
and there's so many voices about it.
Right. Feel like failures because they're not a success.
Right.
And social media doesn't help that. And all the side hustles and all the private jet stuff. and all the everything
crap. You get the Grant Cardones out there.
Yeah, and, you know, it makes you feel sometimes lesser than, but all that really matters is like, what are you striving for, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that could be more time with your kids. It could be one vacation a year. It could be losing 10 pounds. It could be losing 100 pounds. It could be limiting your soda intake. Like I don't, there's not one list in this book that says, this is what it takes to be successful, right?
Totally.
Get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, drink a green juice. Like it doesn't matter. Everyone's different. And if you work in the night industry or like if you sell booze at a club, you're not going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, totally.
Doesn't mean you're not successful. That's just not your lifestyle, right?
No.
And so I think that for me, the most important thing was giving people the permission, I guess, to define your own success. Because that's all that matters.
Yep.
Doesn't matter what your uncle thinks or your parents think or your best friend thinks. You know, everyone's got an opinion, but the only one that matters is yours. And so I think that's really where it starts. Because in order for you to know what winning the moment looks like for you and what winning the day looks like for you, it starts with defining what success is for you.
Totally.
You know, like, do you want to make a bunch of money or do you only want to have to work 20 hours a week? And maybe you can do both.
Yep.
But maybe it's a trade-off. Maybe it's, well, I don't care about if I make six figures as long as I've got 20 hours a week to hang out and snowboard.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Yeah, there's even a picture in here. I had seen it when I was flipping through. It's like a guy in the office and he's stuck behind. Here it is. I found it.
Okay.
It's on page 109 and it has a guy on his cell phone. He's probably trading. It looks like trading charge.
Yep.
And then another person headed out to go surfing. And it asks in the picture, it says, who do you believe is more successful? Well, if you flip the page, now they're thinking, same picture, the guy on the phone looking at the trading chart says, I just want to surf every day. And the guy who's surfing is thinking, I just want to surf every day. And so it's the same thing, right? Like how you define success, you know, this the person trading.
And yet society is looking at that trader being like, man, that guy's a grinder. Like, look at him, you know?
Yeah,
meanwhile, he's miserable. It's funny because... all of the antidotes in here are just, you know, I don't know anything. So I'm just repurposing old information. And then it's also inspired by stories.
Sure.
And so I was sitting in the hot tub, which you can't see, but it's just right over there with a friend one night talking about success and about the book. And this was like when it was in the process. And I said, like, look, man, I don't think, like, who am I to define what success is? Because I don't think anyone gets the right to define that other than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, dude, you don't believe that. Like, no way. That's not true. You don't think that. And I said, I don't think it for me. I said, I don't think that's what success is, but that doesn't mean that someone else doesn't. And that's where I actually came up with the analogy of the surfer guy who was in my hot tub talking to him saying like, look, if he's living the life he wants to live, then that is the epitome of success.
Of course, yeah.
You know, like if that's if he wants to surf every day and he's created a life where he gets to do that thing, then he's the most successful person I know. You know, there's so many people who don't every day live the life they're wanting to live. They're doing it so that they can live the life they want to live.
Yeah.
Right. But the problem is you may never get there.
Right.
Because, and that's what I was talking to Kyle about actually this weekend, because he just graduated. You guys know Kyle, our social media manager.
Yeah, he's been on several times.
And so he just graduated college and he's like, man, what do I do now? He's like, I'd love to make like 70 grand a year. And I was like, I said, that's awesome. I said, but once you make 70, and he's like, why won't that be enough? I said, well, because right now you make what you make. And so as you increase your intake, you increase your output.
Right.
And so now that you have this money, now you're going to take this vacation, you're going to get a new vehicle, you're going to have a new apartment.
Yep.
And all of a sudden your life costs you 70 grand a year. So you have to make more. Otherwise, there's like you feel like there's no progression, right?
Right.
And so then once then you make 100, but now you're married and now you have a kid. And so that 100 is actually like making 50. And so you're behind because you've got these new expenses you didn't have before. And I said, and that's why it's so important to tie your purpose to more than money, right? Because you've got to have something that's not just a tangible. And it's okay. If you want to tie it to money, that's okay too. And just always going to be moving. And so I think, you know, there's a chapter in here that it's about the journey, not the destination. Because the fact of the matter is, we're never going to arrive at success. Like you can't even arrive or anywhere. You can't arrive at this thing because it's always going to move.
Right.
And I think you have to be so careful to even say like, oh, I am successful, because it's always moving.
Yeah.
Like, if I said I'm successful now, well, if my book sells zero copies and Vibrant goes out of business in a year, then what was I really successful anymore? It's like if a tree falls in the woods, like getting success today in the moment is irrelevant for the future. Even like I got awarded from our local community here, 30 in your 30s, right?
Yep.
But what does that really mean other than that night? Like I was successful that night. I had my awards dinner and that was cool and it was really fun. I appreciated it.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean anything today.
No, of course. Yeah. Well, and it's like, it's a fun accolade. Right.
Right.
That's not the definition of what success is.
And what's funny is I think they do that so you can feel the sense of this book's purpose.
Yeah, right.
Right? They're giving you a tangible award so you can feel like you won because it's always learning. It's always going on. You can't ever actually get there.
Right.
Because what would be the fun if you did?
When it comes to influencer marketing, there's a podcast that covers it all that you will want to add to your playlist. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. They talk about influencer marketing, social media, the creator economy, social commerce, and much, much more. They cover all aspects, including the creator economy, social commerce, the latest trends, the metaverse, TikTok trends, and that's just the beginning. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. Add the podcast to your playlist right now.
There wouldn't be any.
Like if you're already successful and you're only 27, then what? What do you do for the next 80 years of your life?
That's why I always ask people that, like, I can't remember who it was, but I think it's Neil deGrasse Tyson asked someone, if you had the choice between living forever or having the knowledge that you do right now, that one day you're going to die, which would you choose? And the guy said, I'd choose to live forever. And he's like, well, no, you might think that, but the idea that you're going to die is what gives you urgency in life. And it's like actually what gives you.
Yeah. I mean, once people get a terminal sentence, they're usually like, oh man, I'm going to do all these things I wish I would have done now.
Correct. Right? And it's not, urgency. Yeah. And it's not that that is also success, like, but by accepting that there is an end and knowing that there's something to be lived in the middle, right?
Well, yeah. And success is always different. Like success for me, this part of my life is going to look different than Kyle's success. We can both be successful simultaneously, but we're at different functions of our life, right?
His style of success is different. And everyone's is. I mean, the person whoever's house that is, right? Like,
yeah, got a snowbird who lives right here. He's never home, and that's successful for him. He's got a couple houses. He's retired. That's awesome. And so I think that it's so important that we define that, because otherwise you're just kind of in that rat race.
Of course.
And you're just going through the motions, hoping to get this thing. And I think the most important thing, and it actually says it in here, it says, you know, stop looking for I'll be happy when moments, because so often someone's like, oh, I'll be happy once I get that job, or I'll be happy once I get this raise, or I'll be happy once I get out of the apartment and into the house, or I'll be happy once I lose 20 pounds. But the problem is, if you're delaying your happiness for a future event, you're ultimately saying to yourself, I can't be happy now because that thing hasn't happened yet.
Right.
And sometimes I almost feel like people use it as a sense of motivation. Like, I haven't earned the right to be happy. Mm. I got to earn it first.
Right.
But then once you get there, it's not like if you lose 20 pounds, you have to keep doing everything you did to lose the 20 pounds. Otherwise, you will just put the 20 pounds back on. Right.
Correct.
Like, it's not like once you've done it, you're like, okay, great. I can eat like shit and drink again. You have to continue to be that same person. Otherwise, you'll just end up, and that's what I did, right? I lost all the weight. I had all those good activities. COVID hit, and I just reverted back to my old habits.
Right.
And so I got my old body, you know?
So in Winning the Moment, what's your favorite Vibrant Management story?
Without a shadow of a doubt, my favorite Vibrant Management story is when Breck and I went to China.
I knew that was going to be your answer for sure.
That's funny because Breck and I, you know, have a long past, and a friend of ours was reading the book and like narrating it to our friends. And his name's Andrew, and he made it in chapter one. And he joked like, well, I made the book, but I made it as an example of how not to live. And, you know, put some laughing emojis and said like, you know, it's all hilarious. Fair. But then as you go forward in chapter two, he says, well, I just finished chapter two, and it turns out Breck and Brian are the bad guys, because I tell the story about Breck and I's first business deal. When we were going to do a cell phone store together, and I ended up not making the cut, and he partnered with another friend of ours, Brian. And so he texted me this morning because he was reading it, like sent a picture, you know, and he had proofread it, because anyone who's in the book, I gave them the opportunity to like make sure that they felt comfortable with that, given the fact that who knows who's going to read it or how big it's going to be.
Sure.
And so he goes, man, it was different reading it for real than just proofreading it. It was it was pretty funny. He's like, I just want to make sure we set the story straight, you know, which is really hilarious. But there's just some great stories in there. A lot of people from the team made it in the book. You're in the book.
I'm in there.
There's a mention of Allie. I know Leah's in the book. I can't remember if Kyle made it or not. Drez made it in the book. It's like, you know, because it is. It's just my life, you know, and And as you went through it, like there's some stories of my childhood and stuff, but so much of it is recent because that's what was happening in the moment when I was working on it. You know, like that's what you're thinking of. And so it was surreal. Cause I got the book last Friday, the day of our Christmas party, and I hadn't had a chance yet to read it. Like the actual physical book, you know, I've read it like 8 times,
right.
The real book. So I sat down on Sunday morning and opened it and started reading. And it was just a crazy emotion of like, wow, man, these are my words on paper, you know? And for me, having kids, what's so cool for me about it is that like now my words live on forever.
Yeah.
You know, like heaven forbid something happens in my life or I'm not there for my children. Like they're always going to have this sense of guidance and they'll always know like what dad thought, you know, or what would dad do? And, or for my grandchildren or my great grandchildren, like just knowing that my words are now cemented in time and we'll see if... if what I said has any value 10 years from now, you know?
I think I would be surprised if it's not. I mean, Tribe of Mentors has carried on for years and years and years, right? There was one thing you said that I had never thought of, but just in regards to reading, like if you were given the opportunity to pay to sit down and have lunch with Steve Jobs, or just pay to sit down and have lunch with Gary Vee or Grant Cardone or
any of them,
right? You would come up with just a crazy high number and pay for that.
Absolutely.
Or you can walk into Barnes & Noble or go to Amazon.
Right.
And for $17, you can buy their book, which contains more than they would ever be able to tell you.
Absolutely.
In any type of one sitting.
Yeah, they're sharing their whole life with you.
Correct. And
that's everything that they believe and think and process and how they do information. Like the Nike book, Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, was just like, anyone who wants to be in that space, like I'd hope you're reading his book.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
like what? Why would you not? I think that's why I think that books are so valuable is... there's so much great knowledge out there and so many people are unwilling to go after it, right? Like I'll ask people, cause I'm an avid reader, you know, like, and so we'll get on the topic of reading and they're like, oh, I just don't have time.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, are you current on your Netflix series? Like,
yeah,
what do you mean to say is you don't prioritize knowledge in your time.
Right.
Because there's 24 hours in a day. If you work for 8 and you sleep for 8, that leaves you 8 more. Right. And so you got a shitload of time to do something productive with your life. And so I think that's like and that's kind of what this book is about. Like, let's cut through the bullshit and realize that you are where you are because of you, good or bad.
Right.
If you're having a great life and you're kicking ass, it's because you're awesome.
Yep.
If you're having a bad life and things are shitty, you're probably doing shitty things, you know? So it's like, quit placing the blame elsewhere. Give yourself the blame, give yourself the credit. And then when you go into life and attack it in that way, knowing like at the end of the day, I own up to everything.
Yeah.
Right.
You can look into the accountability mirror like David Goggins says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, and it's cool because reading David Goggins' book when I'd go to the gym, I was like tired. It was hard. I would think about him.
Same. That's what I do.
You know, and it's like, and it just allowed me to get through it. And so I think that some people think like, oh, I don't need motivation. I don't need someone else to help me. But it's like, who doesn't need motivation? You know what I mean? Even the greatest athletes in the world, they're getting motivation from somewhere. You go to any Fortune 500 company, they're having motivational speakers come in and talk to their executives. It's like, we can all use a dose of motivation. And whether it's me or it's somebody else, being that this is going to come out pretty much right at the beginning of the year, I would say make it a point this year for whatever it is that you're interested in, whatever that category is, personal growth, anything, it doesn't matter. Find someone whose book you think you'll like and read it. And if you don't like to read, then listen to it. Like I like to read it personally, but getting the information is the most important part. So however you get that information
is
irrelevant.
That's true. I'm excited for my copy to show up. If you buy it on Barnes & Noble right now, it's going to take a little minute to get to you, but it is available on Amazon right now too.
And that's where we'd love you to buy it. Go on to Amazon, pick it up. And then if you enjoy the book, if you could leave it a 5-star review. If you don't enjoy the book, just keep it to yourself. We don't need to review it.
Yeah, if you don't like it, then there's something probably a little bit wrong with you. There's contact information on the very back page, page 159. It has Cody's information. It also has the services that We at Vibrant Management offer as well.
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about it. That was fun.
Yeah, I'm glad that we did it.
That was good practice.
I'm excited to actually get my copy and get into it.
Yeah, it's been fun to read.
Yeah, I bet. I wouldn't know.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Again, the title is Winning the Moment. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. And if you enjoyed it, then I highly recommend you go and purchase this on Amazon today.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.